You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Jim has to take off, go teach his class. Headlines with the Press Times, John Kramer in the house. We're talking about something very cool, but first I want to say once again, thanks to Joe Vertigan and Scott Hansen, legendary stock car racer, and Joe, of course, who's done so much to promote stock car racing in the area. It's absolutely unbelievable. They were just fantastic to have on. Katie Burke, Three Rivers Rodeo Log Growing Event in Howard, taking place this weekend. That sounds so cool. I'm challenging John Kramer, he and I, to do that. Todd, who would you put your money on?
Absolutely, John is who I...
Mino?
John.
Okay, that's what he's going.
It would definitely be Kramer.
I got that low center of gravity. I think I would beat you on this.
I used to be able to ride a unicycle.
Did you really?
Yeah. I was that nerdy kid that got beat up a lot.
Well, you've got some very special guests in here for Headlines for the Press Times. It's the Hmong community events taking place, Manu and Tu. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. Mm-hmm. What have you got going on?
Well, most recently, just a couple weeks ago, John was at one of our events where it was our first year collaborating with On Broadway. My Passion Foundation is the nonprofit's name for the Hmong organization that we are board members of. And we just love being able to bring this event to the community for free, which is amazing. And so with the right collaborations and resources, we were able to create this event that actually exceeded our expectation. The weather was not the greatest, but people still showed up, stayed through the rain, danced in the rain, and had a great time.
The weather hasn't been the greatest for any events this summer. It's just crazy, isn't it?
Rained a lot.
Unbelievable. You know, it's so admirable, though, with you folks come over, what, 50 years now, probably?
Yes, 50 years.
From Southeast Asia, and what you've established in communities and how strong you have all stayed together to support one another, to help one another, to the way you have all thrived. It's a pretty amazing American story, wouldn't you say? I mean, you have to be proud of it.
I would definitely say so. I mean, in 50 years, we've got senators, mayors, lawyers, doctors, and then local business professionals in the area here as well, too. And that's a great accomplishment in 50 years. So.
Do they ever talk, your parents ever talk about, you know, how cool you guys have it now, maybe, or your kids have it versus what it was like when they first came over and dealing with this weather and all the different things?
Oh, yeah. They're always talking about high expectations, right? Everyone's dream is for their kid to be a doctor or lawyer. And, you know, there's a lot to just be very thankful for. You know, we're always happy to have the support of our elders and to have them kind of just help push us so that we can continue to be the best that we can be here.
You're talking about your event that you had. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it was a collaboration that kind of started last summer. Fatma from On Broadway, she actually reached out to my dance academy to come perform as a placeholder. And so we came to perform at the Levette Concert Series. And then from there, they wanted to hear community input. How can we engage the community more, especially at, you know, the Hmong communities or other communities that we could reach out to bring everyone together, especially for events that are amazing like this, where they're free, it's in an open space, it's using, you know, the Lutch Park there that, you know, a lot of people can have access to in the middle of the city. And so it was great to have them see something in us, in our organization, that we have connections with the Hmong community to be able to bring them out and to be able to voice at the tables which artists could really bring the community together. And so it started a year ago, and then with the team, they asked us to join the planning committee. We were able to suggest and recommend artists in the Hmong community that we thought could really bring people out. And we were so happy that they took a chance on us and really just, you know, it was our first year, so we didn't know what to really expect. We didn't want to overpromise anything, but we're very grateful for this partnership with On Broadway that they believed in us and supports us. And we did it. And, you know, it was, I believe, when we met last, there was over like 500, 600 people that showed up for this one.
That's awesome.
It was awesome, yeah.
How is it taking the culture, moving it forward. I mean, you're assimilated now. You're like I said, you're just a guy that lives in Bellevue. But you know what I mean? To make sure that the young coming up don't lose the traditions.
It's very special. I mean, I was born in a refugee camp. So I was a month old, came to the United States, lived in Chicago, the most diverse city ever. And then the early 90s, moving to Green Bay, you saw it was very different at the time. But I call myself a lifelong Green Bay resident now, you know, and I don't see myself moving out of here. We always joke at 13, 14, as soon as I hit 18, I'm gone. You know, this town is too small for me. But the longer that we stay here, the more you take pride in belonging and being a part of the community. And I think with this event here, it did a lot because a lot of our local entertainers for the event was all local people within 20, 30 miles. And to see the talent that we have here, and again, this is on an entertainment level, but the professionals that we have in the area that have said, I'm making Northeast Wisconsin my house. This is where I belong now. For myself, I'm a realtor and I love it. Every time I get to help someone buy a house and stay in Northeast Wisconsin, I know they're going to be good contributing members to society as well, too. So.
Do you ever talk with your parents, or did you talk about that, or did they not want to talk about as my parents used to say about Italy, the old country?
My dad loves it. My dad loves it. He was 18. So, I mean, for him coming in at 18, not knowing what to do, getting his technical degree, working in Chicago and so on, moved here to Green Bay and worked for the community as a community relations person for the Old Monk Center of Green Bay. He loved everything about it. Then he eventually left and started his own business. So he wants to talk about the progression of what happens in the 45 years he's been here. It's very special to hear him talk about it. I now have kids of my own, and to try to tell them, hey, there's more to it than just go to school, get your degree, and work.
Right.
There's a legacy of the hard work of what your family and ancestors have done. So.
What I want to know is, how did the Hmong community get so good at volleyball?
Oh.
How did that? So I originally met her at the Hmong New Year at Edison School.
Yep.
So you're a teacher at Lombardi, correct?
Yes, yep. My day job is an educator, so I currently work at Lombardi Middle School, and I love it there. The Green Bay School District has done wonders to support me and all the extra things that I do. I help to advise the Asian clubs, and from that, I was able to work with the district to host the Hmong New Year's for the last 4 years. And so it started very small, just, you know, where I can give impact in my classroom. And then as students hear about it, they're like, Mrs. Vang, can you do Hmong New Year for us too? You know, can you come over here and help us too? Because they all crave that, you know, they want to know about their identity. They want to feel a sense of belonging. And so to have my principals and the district be able to support me and my vision and to continue to help me grow that vision to become something this big, it's been amazing. And so last year we were able to host Hmong New Year at the biggest middle school, which is Edison Middle School here. And it was great. We had over 1,000 people that showed up.
Wow.
Yep, for just one day. John came and was amazing, took pictures too. And we were kind of scattered a little bit because it was two floors of events.
Okay.
And so as people kind of, it's free flowing, but we had cornhole, we had volleyball, we had dance performances. We had a documentary specialist called Ning Nao, who actually went to Southeast Asia to do studies and research about Hmong instruments. And we watched his video that he created. It was just an all around great day. And we just had a blast, you know, to hear everyone enjoyed it. And bringing the community together just makes us smile. And so it's great.
I think the best part about that event was our Hmong kids don't really know. I always tell my sons, if you don't know why we're here, then you've got some history.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of asking a little bit earlier. Are they interested? Do they want to know?
Yes. Yep. I think most recently, one of our programmings that's in the works is a Hmong language course. So we're seeing what's already out there so that we don't have to start something from scratch, because some of my students are saying they want to learn their language because they want to be able to help translate, you know, and they want to be able to help do things and to remember, you know, like their roots and all. And so we're really excited to hear the feedback from the community and to create something that's meaningful for them. And so we're hoping that we can continue to create things that will help our youth stay connected and interested and engaged.
Yeah. Do you sugarcoat it at all, or do you let them know how horrible it was at the fall of, you know, 1975, the United States left and the North Vietnamese took over and pretty much wanted to annihilate the Hmong, didn't they?
They pretty much did. And I was telling someone earlier, it's stuff that's not taught in books.
Right. That's classes. What I mean. I mean, it's yeah. it's brutal.
I moved here from Chicago in the early 90s. And there was a big Hmong population here, but no one really understood who the Hmong was here.
Right,
why
exactly.
they were here for.
Right. The Vietnam vets knew.
Yeah, the veterans.
The Vietnam vets knew. And they had all the respect in the world, I'll tell you that.
As a kid, 12, 13-year-old, walking down the streets and having a Vietnam veteran come up to you and say, hey, thank your family for what you did, or I would still not be here myself.
That's awesome.
That was very powerful. But I think in our society, too, as time goes by, I have two boys. They're 22 and 20 right now. They don't know anything else besides what everybody
right.
else knows.
Yeah. Right.
So it's very important. To
but that's, I think it is, because I think we, as all Americans, need to do more to let people know exactly why you're here, mm-hmm. why you came here, why you had to leave your country. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were forced out or you would have been killed, and what it took for your parents and your grandparents, for them somehow to persevere to escape, and for you to be sitting right here, and for your kids to be sitting where they are, and all these kids at Edison or whatever. It's an amazing story of perseverance.
Imagine leaving your home with nothing but the clothes on your back.
Nothing.
It's just...
And imagine being chased, yeah. literally chased through the jungles for weeks and months on end.
It's impossible for
us to realize it.
Conceptualize it and to understand what a people has gone through.
And for what you did, and we, I have some of my Vietnam vets say one of the worst things ever as far as when we left Vietnam the way we did was that we abandoned in some ways the Hmong and some of the other ones that have helped us. That's a black mark against the United States at the time. And that's why I know so many Vietnam vets have done whatever they can in more modern times, whatever you want to call it, to try to show their respect towards the Hmong. And to a man, whenever I talk about them, they can tell a story about a helicopter that was shot down or something, and they were thinking they were just in NVA territory and they were done for, and all of a sudden a Hmong patrol would show up and take them and hide them for safety until a LRP unit would come and find them.
I think the part that most people don't know is you're asking for Hmong men, but these are Hmong teenagers, 13, 14, 15-year-olds that were out there rescuing people.
Right.
So there's a lot of PTSD that still goes on because of that, and
oh, I bet.
Tough issues that are around because of that. So.
I'll bet. We got a text here. Such a great event at Edison. I got to briefly explain to a guy who was up from Plymouth to throw bags about diversity in Green Bay area public schools. Okay, Brian. But one of those events, you know what? It was kind of, John, another event you covered was out at Oneida.
Correct.
Where they're headbringing. They reminded me of the same things as far as with the dance and the young kids and the culture and making sure that stays alive with the young. Mm-hmm. I think that was very cool. But I thought both events were very similar. Didn't you, John, in covering them both?
Yeah, the Oneida powwow, and I'm waiting to hear confirmation from those folks because they should be here next week.
But okay, cool.
What an amazing event. If you live here in the area and have never had a chance to get out there, find out when it is next year and check it out.
Absolutely.
If you can do one thing for me, just confirm that I have a really bad cold. So when I weasel out of a corporate event tomorrow.
There's a reason why I'm sitting so far away from you and you smell like a jar of Vicks.
He's just trying to get out of the corporate event tomorrow.
I guess. Yeah.
Chris is probably listening, my editor. Yes. So just confirm that I have a really bad cold.
He looks fine, Chris. He's fine.
Yeah.
Keep him home. I'm dying here.
We think his voice sounds great for radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manu and Two, can you stick around?
Definitely.
Yes.
Outstanding. Back with more right after this.
My head, I couldn't escape the memory of a phone call and of what you said. Like a game show contestant with a parting gift. I could not believe my eyes when I saw through the thoughts of a trusted friend. And did you humor me and tell me lies? Yeah, humor me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Got a ill John Kramer here, headlines of the Press Times, Manu and Two from the Hmong community events. You guys were talking about the community, bringing everybody together like that. Do you ever talk about with your parents that you almost had to do that for support back in the day. Because like I said, when my family moved over from Italy and other families moved over from, like, you know, Germany or wherever, they all lived kind of together because this strange new world, they needed that support in a lot of ways. Do your families talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Hmong people are very family-oriented,
yeah,
where they stay with their clans a lot. And sometimes when, you know, someone goes somewhere and says, hey, there's job opportunities, it's great over here, then the whole clan moves over, you know, and, like, they all go together as a unit.
Back in Laos and Thailand, you know, people stayed based on their clans, and then you would go to them, this is the villages of the Vangs, or this is the villages of the Yangs and stuff like that. So as we came here, you started seeing that, and... You know, being a realtor, I hear people, there's more extended families living together now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came here in the 90s, I mean, it was my grandpa, my uncles, and then their kids, and maybe another cousin somewhere, you know. So it was all family-based.
I was working with a veterans group out of Appleton, and they were pushing hard to try to get veterans' rights for the Hmong that fought for our country. Is that still going on, do you guys know?
I know there's still pushes for it.
Okay.
I think part of it is as that population has gotten older.
Older, yeah, I know.
There's not that much of
right.
Voice anymore.
Yeah. But I think that's important. I mean, they gave their lives for our country. I mean, that's, you know, to help our servicemen. I think that's an important aspect. I really and truly do. So I hope that goes through somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
By the way, you know what you guys got to get, John? I'll tell you what you got to get, John. When I went to one of my clients, one of my Hmong clients in Appleton, okay, had a bad cold, and I walked in one day, and they were cooking something. And everything cleared up. My sinuses cleared. My throat cleared. Everything cleared. And they gave me some of that sauce. It's like, almost looks like chili peppers. And I put that in chili. And that, like, cured me.
Really?
So if you guys have that, it's like chili flakes. It's so hot. It's incredible. But it will clear you up, John, like you can't believe.
I need something. I'm dying here.
I might have some upstairs. I'll go try to get you some.
Isn't it ironic we have the Lysol wipes right in there?
I know,
too,
right?
just give that to John as a parting gift.
He's blowing his nose with them. Exactly. John, you've been doing great stuff with the Press Times. I mean, they've got you busy. You've been really going all over the place.
Yeah. So this weekend, I'm talking to some of the Holstein royalty. So, yeah. Going to meet them out at a local farm and do a little interview with the Queen of Holsteins and her court. So that'll be
But
fun.
I mean, you seem to really be enjoying this. I mean, you started out, you know, as a photographer, as an intern or whatever. Now you're writing, you're doing everything. You got all the, you know, you got the cool aspect, it seems like, with the paper.
Well, what I try to do is find stuff that interests me before I get assigned stuff that doesn't.
Right.
So
welcome to the media.
Yeah, I try to find things that are basically interest me or are fun or just fun to photograph or video rather than being stuck with something Chris assigns
me. Don't go to city council meetings and things like that.
She knows I like the warm, feel-good stories, so I'm fortunate that's where she usually says.
Okay, you got to get back to something you mentioned. You mentioned about why are they so good in volleyball. We didn't get the full answer on that one.
We didn't. Seriously. So I was at the New Year event. They had volleyball going on, and then the concert, they had volleyball going on. And these kids can get in the air. I mean, it's crazy. How did volleyball get so involved with the Hmong community? How that?
I'll let Tulon talk about that because he does a lot of my volleyball coordinations.
For me, on a personal story, I started at 13. You know, I grew up in Chicago and it was along the beach. You see people playing all the time. But in our community, I think people just automatically, stereotypically put you with soccer. And there was just guys like, I was like, I can't run all day. You know? I think in Asia, volleyball is also very popular. As we came over, it just started going through the generations, but it became more coordinated. I mean, I started at 13. I finally stopped playing at 40 because my body wouldn't let me do it anymore. But coordination and passing on what you know, teaching the next generation. And I think it's kind of like the family thing as well, too, right? You want to pass on your legacy to your next generation. So at the Hmong Day or the David Levitt production, I had my nephew help me run it, you know, and it was I had a lot of pride because I knew that it was, okay, I'm passing on to my nephew, teaching him how to be organizational and stuff like that. But he got back and he just had one request was, can I just take a picture with David Yang, you know, the entertainer. But I think it just was something that we just always just did and kept passing on. And as you start doing more, it becomes more organized and more competitive. So the skills really.
What is the major sport? What would be the. Because what do you consider yourself, Thailand or Laos?
I consider myself more Thai.
Thai, okay.
Because I was born there, but I'm more American.
Because soccer's huge there, yeah. Isn't it?
Soccer is everything there.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's huge. Yeah.
I mean, but I grew up in America. So
right.
So what am I? A football.
Yeah.
Sitting in the Packer chair.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, whenever you guys have other events coming up, please let us know. We'd love to promote this as much as humanly possible. One thing I wanted to ask, do you know about that? What's the flower garden outside of Denmark? Is it a community flower garden run by a group of Hmongs right along the highway there? You ever stop there? I've always wanted to stop in because their flowers are unbelievable.
I think they do farmer's market.
Is that for the farmer's market? Yeah. Oh, they don't sell them there then, huh?
I don't think they sell.
Oh, they grow them there and then bring them down here?
Yeah.
Because they're unbelievable.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I just drove by that the other night and it's like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Where is it?
Just outside of Denmark.
On what highway?
Between here and Denmark. What's the, I don't even know what highway that is.
All right.
Not 41.
Okay.
It's the other one.
Okay.
It's like if you went by Twin Oaks Golf Course.
Okay.
Whatever that's on.
I'll look for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please do.
There's your next story that you can do before somebody assigns something.
I'm serious, John. You got to check that out. They're unbelievable.
No, I will.
It's really, really cool.
I'll find it.
All right. How come there's not a good Hmong restaurant here in town?
It's growing.
Yeah,
right? It's growing. Mm-hmm. We've got four or five of them now. Oh, right across the street there, Asia Fusion Cafe, Arkandeli, Pho One. And Fur Lodge. It's growing. You know, it's amazing. 7 years ago, you had hardly none, and then now there's
what do you consider the best one?
Oh, I go to all of them, so I can't pick.
He's got stock in all of them.
That's right.
Hey, it's great having you guys here. John, thanks for bringing them. This is wonderful. Manu and two with the Hmong community events. Anytime you have something coming on, we'd love to have you back on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John.
I got nothing.
John, yeah. Stop breathing in my studio. Be back after this.
Twin.
If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, catch every episode of Mino and the Mayor on your schedule. Listen now at civicmedia.us or find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's easy to take Mino and the Mayor wherever you go. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Very special thanks for John Kramer and Mayu and Tu from the Hmong Community Events joining us. Now we've got Adriana Vanderlees, the marketing director for the Oshkosh Marriott Waterfront Hotel and Convention Center, and Chef Lauren Rue. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, I'm not very good.
Why is that?
Because I was all excited about this menu, okay? And I was looking at some of these great things you have on your menu, and you've said you've changed it now.
We have.
Because I had like three things I want to come down and order right away.
What are those? Tell me about them.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The Waterfront Burger itself sounded really good.
Okay.
Okay, it's a big one. I wanted to try the smoked schnitzel. I want to take my son down. He's big. He lived in Prague, and he's big into schnitzel and through Germany. I want to try that. And I wanted to try how to pronounce it exactly. The steak.
I want to
try the steak au poivre.
Well, our new steak, so we have a wonderful partnership with Barry Malott from Malott in Green Bay here.
Malott Meats.
Yeah, Malott Distributing. All of our beef is actually now coming from the state of Wisconsin. So bred and butchered. So 94% of all cattle farms in the state are dairy farms. So only 6% are for beef consumption. And we're fortunate enough to work with Barry. He produces a great product for us. So we're using some beautiful filet from Barry. We're doing a chimichurri marinated skirt steak, which is fantastic. It's in a skirt steak sandwich. We're also serving it as an entree with some grilled zucchini and some fingerling potatoes. Really delicious.
Nice. Do you know which county in Wisconsin has more cows than people?
Ooh.
Oh, are we going to play a little quiz
this
morning?
This is our trivia question this morning.
Trivia question. I'm going to guess, is it Marathon County?
No.
Okay, then I'm out.
You got to have a guess.
Oh my gosh.
Are you from Wisconsin? Come
yeah.
on, Adriana.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I don't remember.
Well, and we didn't know this earlier this morning. The mayor told us this.
Yeah.
Kewaunee County has 5 cows for every human.
Interesting.
So now you know.
Now we know. You now can, it's now half
you
know. The battle.
You can use that one day at work.
Everybody, you think you're the smartest. Let's back up just a little bit because the this hotel's been in Oshkosh for quite some time, many, many years, but it's just kind of been taken over, remodeled, and now it's this wonderful location right on the waterfront.
And correct us, right across the bridge from our studio.
Absolutely, yeah.
Our WSS studio.
So tell us a little bit about where it's at right now as opposed to the past.
Well, we've completely rebranded into a Marriott property, so the hotel is received a multi-million dollar overhaul. So from soup to nuts, you know, all of the rooms have been renovated. The entire great room and bar have been renovated. We're going to be the only Marriott in Wisconsin with an M Club, which is for all of their titanium and ambassador clients. For those who are looking for an exceptional high quality experience, you know, that's really what we're all about is bringing that beautiful Marriott experience. And then also, you know, projecting that through the food and the ambient, you know, environment of the restaurant.
Can I tell you that if Todd comes there or when he comes there, I guarantee you I'm going to tell you what he's going to order.
Okay, what is it?
Spotted cow fried walleye sandwich.
Anything that has spotted cow in the menu, I'm there.
So it's cool. You know, a lot of what we tried to do with the menu is bring a lot of locality to everything that we're doing. So we've highlighted a bunch of things with little state icons. So using fresh cheese curds, using local beer, using local beef. So our burger blend is a blend of chuck, short rib, brisket just for us from, and again, in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, for someone who just wants a burger, you know, the burger you can't go wrong with, whether it's a restaurant burger where we take a temperature or we do a smash burger where it's kind of cooked to medium well done, but still juicy in the middle and beautiful. But we're really going to be focused on pizza. Pizza's going to be
I got to ask just one quick question for you, okay, and then go on for there. What is semolina and cornmeal crust?
Yeah, so tavern style pizza is what we're really trying to accomplish. And what I've found is in my time in Oshkosh is there's not really a lot of great pizza. Okay. You know, you have a couple of places that have bar pies, and then everything else is your big box, Domino's, you know, Pizza Hut, whatever. You know, so I'm really trying to bring some flair to Oshkosh with this pizza program. And semolina is a type of flour that is a little bit more coarse than your traditional all-purpose white flour. It brings a really nice rigidity and texture to the crust. And traditionally in the land of our friendly Illinois brethren, you know, the bar pie is a thin crust pizza that has that cornmeal dust on the bottom, really just gives a really nice crispy, it's really crispiness to the crust. So there's no flop to the pizza. You know, we're using Belgioso, whole milk mozzarella.
Yep,
so, you know, again, it's trying to do as much in-state local as possible.
Okay, so I have to ask, because like, when I grew up, our Sunday meal was polenta. You ever heard of polenta?
For sure, of course.
Okay, so do you cook it that same way, where you stir for like an hour? Because my dad would stand there and stir for like an hour till he was sweating in it, and then take it out.
So cornmeal is, how we're using it is we're literally just dusting the base of the pizza in the cornmeal. So it gives it a touch of texture on the crust side. We're actually getting this beautiful new oven. It's arriving today. As soon as I leave here, I'm going back to the hotel. I'm so excited. We have a Pizza Master oven coming, which is like the Cadillac of pizza ovens. So,
oh my God, Mino, I always wanted to have a pizza oven.
I know. Quiet, Todd. I'm working on it here.
So they're amazing pieces of equipment. They go up to like 850 degrees. It's a stone hearth oven. So we have the ability to not only make pizzas, but bake breads, do paninis and sandwiches in there as well. I'm super jacked. It's been a long time coming to get this oven, but super excited to have the right equipment. But really the semolina, it starts with any traditional pizza flour dough recipe where you're taking hot water, yeast, sugar, letting that bloom, then adding the semolina flour. We actually use a little bit of bread flour and AP flour as well in our mix. We let that proof overnight. And then the next day, we basically roll it out in semolina and then pass it through a sheeter. So one of my biggest grievances for pizza places, especially for hand toss, is that the crust isn't always consistent. There's cold spots or there's little bubbles or places where the pizza will have a little bit of dip where like the crust just isn't set up as well. So by using a sheeter, it's consistently the same texture every single time.
When I come there, I'm going to get the Lily Lou.
The Lily Lou, it's named after my my daughter. She's she's big on prosciutto. So anytime we go out for
you have prosciutto on this.
Prosciutto, burrata, you know, it's really what she loves to eat. So the Benito is my son, and he's anytime we go for pizza, he's the barbecue chicken pineapple pizza guy. So had to give a little nod out to the kids in the menu. They're big pizza fanatics. And super excited to bring this concept to Oshkosh.
Now, I got to be honest with you. The one thing that you got on your menu for toppings that I've never seen before on a pizza, asparagus.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of what the menu is, you know, we're in the Marriott, so we need to have, it can't just be pizza. So we have a full list of bar appetizers, sandwiches, soup, salads, and entrees. And, you know, for me, it really brings a little bit of uniqueness to a topping. I love asparagus. I think that especially coming into the season, I mean, we're right at the tail end of asparagus where we can get, you know, at the local farmer's market, you're just seeing it kind of end of beginning of July tail off. But asparagus just works really well. We have it on our surf and turf plate as well. So for those people looking for a unique vegetarian option, in toppings, it was kind of a no-brainer.
So what does that taste like? Is it grilled, basically, the asparagus first? Or is
yeah,
it just...
absolutely. Okay. So we're basically, we'll end up roasting it in the hearth oven.
Okay.
So when you hit it at a really high temperature, we'll coat it in a little bit of olive oil, kosher salt, black pepper, and then just give it like a char. And then you'll finish it on the pizza.
Because the Romania sounds good.
La Romagna.
Romagna.
Oh, Romagna. Get it right.
Romagna.
So that's actually like a very popular sandwich in Rome. So if you go to Rome, it's a focaccia. Roman pizza is focaccia pizza. So they basically cook it in a pan, and then they're big on their vegetables as well. So the Romagna has pesto, roasted peppers, olives, asparagus, and slow roasted tomatoes. So again, really trying to hit that vegetarian and give everybody else an opportunity to enjoy food that they might not always enjoy.
So Chef, you talked about your kids and how like they play a part in what you create, right?
For sure.
What's your background? What's your family life like? Where are you in the area? He drove up from Kohler this morning to be on the show. Not even from Oshkosh.
Thank you for that.
Oh, of course. So I've been in Wisconsin for the last 16 years, so I practically feel like I'm a Scotty.
Right. I can see it.
So again, I'm originally from Illinois, which is where the tavern-style pizza
kind
comes from.
Kind of figured that by looking at the menu.
You know, again, that's why I say we're fibs. We're friendly Illinois brothers.
Exactly.
Right? I don't know what else it would ever stand for. Thank you. You know, I moved up here. I've been doing fine dining for the last, you know, for the first 10 years of my career.
In Kohler?
I worked in Kohler for 5 years. I worked at the American Club. I was the executive chef and restaurant
manager. My son worked for about 5 years at, is it Tavern on the Lakes?
Tavern on Wood Lake? Sure.
Tavern on Wood Lakes.
I was before
he
that
He was
time.
Fired 3 times by Herb Kohler.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And Herb Kohler's wife told Herb to be quiet and rehired him each time.
Mr. Kohler, I've actually had some awesome interactions with him. I've done some tastings for him where he's been taking notes off of, you know, what you say. So he really always respected somebody in a chef coat.
Okay.
And then when you do a tasting with him and you're not in a chef coat, he just like, who are you? what do you know? And I'm like, Mr. Kohler, I'm the chef. He goes, well, where's your chef coat? So
exactly.
My experience in Kohler was phenomenal. Yeah. I still live there. That was back in 2010 through 2015. After that, I went to Blue Harbor. So I was at Blue Harbor right on the lake for 5 years, overseeing all food and beverage operations and culinary operations there. And then the last 5 years prior to joining Scarlet Hotel Group, I was the executive chef for the Milwaukee Brewers. So, you know, my favorite foods are hot dogs and cheeseburgers and lox and bagels and pot stickers. So, you know, and as a kid, if you looked at like my 5-year-old drawings, what I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to be a baseball player. So that was the closest thing that I could get at that time in my life.
So for the Brewers team or for the organization?
For the organization. Okay. So I oversaw all culinary for concessions, suites, tailgates, catering, restaurants. It was a blast. It was an amazing point in my career, quantity food production driven. I had 9 chefs working for me. It was really, really fantastic. At the height in 2020, end of 2023, we were nominated second best food in the nation for stadium food across all platforms. So pat my own back a little bit. Was, you know, really proud of my team and made a big impact in Milwaukee. Really enjoyed my time there, but was itching to get back into a more, I guess you'd say, well-rounded food portfolio, and Scarlett is giving me that opportunity to really bring some creation, not only to Oshkosh, but really to the vision of the organization.
When they interviewed you for the job at the Brewers, did you admit that you'd been a Cubs fan?
You know, we didn't talk about that. I actually had to do a tasting at Lambeau, and I asked them to borrow a hat because I didn't have a hat, and they gave me a Packers hat, and I'm like, do you have a Lambeau hat that I can try? No, I'm like, but no. They're a good group of dudes up there at Lambeau as well. I'll still talk to
them. Well, I got to tell you one thing, though, because I was a sportscaster for 100 years, whatever, and you'd go into the locker room after the games, obviously, whatever. Those guys eat well in their post game, don't they?
You know, they eat five times a day. So
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy. They eat breakfast, pre-batting practice, post-batting practice, pre-game, post-game.
And then a spread. And then get like $300 per diem to go have a meal. That is not a bad life.
You know, every club does something a little bit different. Like I want to say the Dodgers and the Yankees actually travel with a chef. Wow. So like we wouldn't have to cater the chef in that regard.
Oh, yeah. But you guys see these spreads.
Big market teams, you know, they can afford that. Whereas, you know, with the Brewers, they're very analytical based. They actually had a nutritionist who was kind of planning out all of the meals for the team, and obviously very big meat and bean people and rice people. So
that's what I do.
When you come back, I want to talk about how the community's embracing the changes in the restaurant and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
And then I want to talk about getting a picture of that oven when it comes in today, because Mino is going to be salivating all over the place.
I'm
that
so
has been my dream.
This oven's so amazing. I got to tell you,
Chef Lauren Rue, back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From local stories to local voices, we're shining a spotlight on what matters right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's more than just talk. It's about connecting with the community. This is Mino and the Mayor. Now, here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. This is a lot of fun. We're talking with some great people here from a great restaurant. And Lauren, we're going to talk a little bit more about the great things you got going on. But first, I'm going to tell you again what Todd is going to order for breakfast.
I want to know if they're going to put Johnny Juice on the menu.
We'll talk after the show. We'll
sounds
talk
good.
Todd is going to order the butter biscuit beer brat breakfast skillet. Our secret recipe, biscuits blanketed in spotted cow brats.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a spotted cow gravy. I mean, again, we're in the state. How can you not use the nectar of the gods?
I mean, I hate to say this. You might be my new favorite place in the world. Oshkosh Marriott Waterfront Hotel and Conference Center, their grand opening coming up for the restaurant Anchor and Port. That's coming up on the 29th, right?
It is, yeah. High noon, correct? Is it noon o'clock? Very excited about that. The restaurant is just beautiful. We have an amazing staff and really excited. I mean, we have a whole bunch of new equipment coming in this week. I think I mentioned that a little bit ago. If you didn't know, I'm a little excited about it. But no, the breakfast, you know, again, we're a full service hotel. So whether you want breakfast, lunch, or dinner, we are open. We do have, you know, I would consider it probably just the greatest assortment of breakfast foods that really anyone would want. So you have your standard breakfast. We're using Jones Dairy Farm sausage. We're using Newski's bacon out of Wittenberg, best bacon in the world. Shout out Tanya Newski if you're listening. What's up? You know, we're using fresh stone-cut oats from Anson Mills. We have, again, that skirt steak and eggs using that chimichurri marinated skirt steak. And then probably my favorite thing on the menu, there's a restaurant up in St. Germain that unfortunately closed this past season. It's called Wolfpack Cafe, and they had the best pancakes in the world. Their slogan was peace, love, and pancakes. And they unfortunately are retired, but I've tried my best to replicate their pancakes as best as possible. And they're fantastic. They're flapjacks, so they're thinner than a pancake, thicker than a crepe. They're gooey. They're delicious. We also have fresh Wisconsin maple syrup that you can throw on them. And then we're basically taking fresh blueberries, making a compote out of those with a little bit of raw sugar. They're just amazing.
Well, you talked about gooey and delicious. I got to tell me about the Bananas Foster waffle.
Yeah, I mean, waffles are amazing, and Bananas Foster is basically rum and caramel and bananas, and it's flambéed to order. So it's an amazing, amazing waffle topping.
How is that? I was going to ask you. Sorry, John.
No, go ahead.
how's the community embracing this? As I told you before we went on the air, like, I'm excited because it's a great location. You're right on the river, right on the water there. Beautiful sunrises coming up over the water. It's a great location, and we finally have something there that seems like it's going to be worthy of being there.
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting because we're just finishing our third phase of construction. So we're just finishing our ballroom inside the hotel and our private dining spaces. So we really haven't spoken to the community. This right. is really kind of our launch, if you will, to get to that finish line of the grand opening. We haven't done a lot as it relates to sharing this with the community. It's all just been word of mouth, but very excited to start getting into some press, you know, some media coverage, really exploiting the menus. I mean, the menus speak for themselves. The service
it's fun just reading this menu.
The menu it's fun to write. You know, like I said, you had mentioned the butter biscuit beer brat breakfast skillet, and yes. I think we're gonna switch the word skillet to bowl. And if you look at the menu, it says in very small print at the bottom,
say that three times fast.
Right. So, you know, it's meant to be fun and approachable. We want people to come in and feel at home and feel really comfortable dining inside or outside on the patio. I mean, we have an amazing patio space.
Yeah.
There are seven docks. So, you know, anyone who's fishing on Lake Winnebago or on the Fox River or in Fox Lake can literally drop anchor at the port, pull up a table, sit at the bar, and have a full service menu, whether it's pizza or a sandwich or a snack, and just what we say is dock, dine, and deliver.
Jim can pull up his what kind of boat does he have? Pontoon, right?
His pontoon, he'll pull up a pontoon up there. One thing I want to say about this is, I mean, you're high quality. You're
scratch kitchen.
You know, whatever, everything like that. But you're having fun with it too.
100%. Yeah, you got to have fun. If you're not having fun, you know, you have to provide an environment where people want to come to work every day, where people are engaged and own what they're doing. And post-COVID, a lot of cooks, a lot of the hospitality industry has kind of fallen off because it's hard work. And it's just, it's turned a lot of chefs away. So I try to be inclusive with my team when it comes to creating menus. I try to get their feedback from all the service staff. You know, it's important to collaborate and again, have fun with it. You know, ultimately, the menu can't be too big. I'm not a fan of like a Cheesecake Factory menu where there's 40 items on the menu. We have 12 breakfast items,
yep.
and they're all fantastic. We have 16 items on the lunch dinner menu plus pizza, and they're all really, really great items. So no matter what you eat, we're really just excited to have the community and really start to get our name out there for people to enjoy.
Adriana, give us a little, as marketing director, tell everybody why they should come down.
Well, I mean, you really can't beat the atmosphere if you want to come in for dining right on the water. This time of year, you're really not going to get any kind of better place to go. That's what I look forward to. I look forward to the hot days in the summer. We might be working on a boating partnership where you can actually rent a boat and come and dine with us.
Oh, cool.
They'll come and pick you up and you can rent a boat for a day or go to their place and rent it. Again, that's a partnership in the works. We're trying to get that ready for some complimentary boat tours on the day.
Well, your location's phenomenal.
It's great.
Yes.
I mean,
honestly,
in the state of Wisconsin, you won't find many better places than that.
We are officially the pizza sponsor of Lake Winnebago. They don't know it yet, but I'm saying it right now. We're going for it.
But I also love you're talking, giving Todd a hard time about the Spotted Cow because that's his go-to. But it's wonderful that like new skis and all these different things. That's awesome how you're incorporating all the local, you know, endeavors. I love that.
We're in such an agricultural hotspot.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much good farming, produce, proteins. You gotta leverage what we have around us, and there's no better place to do it. I'm super enthused to be in Oshkosh and really
it comes across.
Yeah,
it really does.
I love it. It's been awesome. The restaurant's beautiful. If you haven't come in, come check it out. You can literally, like you said, dock boatside. We're ready to have you.
Oshkosh Marriott Waterfront, thank you both so very much. We will definitely be there. And when we're in Oshkosh, Todd, for our next show.
Okay. We'll
pizza.
Over.
Yeah, we're coming. Yeah, come over for
sounds
sure.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Anchor and Port grand opening July 29th.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Sounds awesome. We're out of time.
We are.
Thanks, everybody. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.